darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III, joined by Mr. Jeff Reed, who's on my left, Mr. Rob Gardner's on my right, Marty Sparks, lighting up the dark from the screening room. We are ready to roll with another edition of the Hamilton Corner program. Most of you are making that transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income for your families. Most of us do that from outside of our homes. You're making that transition from part-time work to your full-time jobs. Your full-time jobs, I describe them as what you do when you leave your part-time work. Because though you may generate an income on a part-time basis, your full-time husbands, fathers, mothers, wives, brothers, sisters, etc. And I want to simply encourage you to make sure you are not named among those who would sacrifice their families in order to win the world. You know, you don't want to be among those. Let's serve our families well. You'll never find, you know, a child complaining, "Oh, my dad never bought me that new video game." You know, they might complain about that in an immature state. But as they mature, the things that they will remember is the time you've invested in them. And I say all the time, none of us can pre-program those poignant, qualitative moments with our family. But what I have found to be true, and actually I learned this at a homeschooling conference, that quantity of time gives rise to quality of time. You see what I'm saying? By having a frequent and consistent diet, if you will, of invested time, it sets the table for those poignant moments. For those, you know, "Daddy, when you said this, I was thinking." Or, "You know, Mom, the other day when you and Daddy were talking, I heard you guys say this, and this is what I was wondering." Quantity of time gives rise to quality of time. And the grace of our God, man, praise God for his grace and for his mercy. But it's a hard truth, but it nevertheless is the truth that you don't get to redo 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 15, 18. You don't get to do them over. Now, God's grace is sufficient, no doubt. But I simply want to encourage you to be invested right where you are and to value your family the way that God values your family. It's high time that we saw our families the way that God does. I was talking yesterday about how people in the airport were aghast that I had the audacity to trek through the airport with 5 children. You'd have thought I had a rabies laden. You'd have thought I had a coronavirus laden companion. The gasp. And let's serve our families well. Let's serve our families well. Couple of announcements. One, this Friday, I will be joining the Old Union Baptist Church family in Shannon, Mississippi for their Jesus Fest 2020. And Pastor Matthew Ellis at the Old Union Baptist Church has asked me to let you all know that you're invited, especially your youth groups, because the Jesus Fest is a worship service that is directed toward some young people, toward young people. And Pastor Ellis said that you are welcome to bring your young people to the Jesus Fest. The only thing that Pastor Ellis asked for was that if you are going to bring your youth group, he asked that you would call him. And here's a number. So if you need to get a pen or if you get the playback, and you can listen to this later. The number to call Pastor Ellis at Old Union Baptist Church is 662. That's the area code 662-891-0782. That number again is area code 662 891-0782. The reason why you need to call Pastor Ellis if you're going to bring your youth group is because they want to make sure they have enough food for you. Because see, at 6 p.m., food and fellowship will begin. And at 7 p.m., the worship service will begin. So they want to make sure they have enough food for you. The event is free of charge. There's no charge. And all he wants is to get your face in the space. So if you want to come, come. And I know the next question. Hey, what if I'm not so much of a youth? Can I still come? I don't think Pastor Ellis is going to turn you away. So once again, Old Union Baptist Church in Shannon, Mississippi. I'll be there Friday. I will be ministering the word of God on Friday evening at Old Union Baptist Church. You are welcome to come. I'll make this announcement in the days that are leading up to it. Just so anybody who wants to go, make sure that you are aware. Then, of course, it is Election Day in America today. And I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to get to the Word of God. Today, they're having their caucuses for the Republican Party in Hawaii. I know that's what you're expecting, right? I'm serious. That's what's on the schedule. Oh, of course, then there's Democrat primary elections in Michigan and Washington State, North Dakota, Missouri, Mississippi, and Idaho. The largest delegate prize tonight is the state of Michigan. And I don't know, folks, if Joe Biden wins this tonight, I think it's going to be a wrap for who the Democrat nominee is going to be. But I'm saying this so that you still have time to vote in those areas, especially if you're out west. So please make sure you go and vote. Now, having said that, especially if you're in Hawaii. I crack myself up. I know. I tell some corny jokes, but it's funny to me. All right. Romans chapter 13 is where we're going to go today. Romans 13, the minutes remaining. I just want to convey this very simple yet necessary biblical worldview notion that the scripture has provided for us. Romans 13, just four verses, verses 1-4. This is the Apostle Paul writing by the Spirit of God, as the Spirit of God has given him utterance to the saints of God in Rome. And the Bible tells us this. Reading in the NASB, it says, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God. And they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers, listen up. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? My dad taught me this. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it, the authority, is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid. For it, the authority, the governing authority, does not bear the sword in vain or for nothing. For it, the governing authority, is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Now, these few verses, in them, the Lord has outlined for us his purpose in establishing the institution of government. Now, right off the bat, let me dispense with this right off the bat. Abraham, you mean to tell me that governments like Hitler's Nazi, like Hitler's Nazi Germany were established by God? Nope. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that the Lord has outlined for us his ordinance, the proper function for government. So then what are you saying? What I'm saying is that the government's purpose is it is a one coin with two heads. Very simply, as verses 3-4 illustrate for us, the government's ordained functional purpose ordained by God is to reward and bolster righteousness and to punish and restrain wickedness. That's why the Bible says evil. It doesn't just say questionable policy. For government is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Not the Dr. Evil from the movie. Evil. God's ordained function for government is to bolster, to support, to encourage, and to reward righteousness. Well, Abraham, what do you mean righteousness? How is righteousness defined? It's defined by the one who ordained government. It's not righteousness based on some humanistic standard. It's God's standard. The ordained function for government is to bolster, encourage, and support righteousness. And simultaneously, it's one coin with two sides, to punish and to restrain wickedness. So whenever you have government that does not comport with God's functional ordinance for it, you have a government operating rebelliously. Now, let us consider a couple things. What do we say about a government that begins to sanction the premeditated, intentional homicide of the unborn? Where you have, just a couple weeks ago, 41 senators who happen to be in a particular party, who said a child who survives an attempted murder. The proposed legislation was, if a child survives an attempted murder, then the child must be given the same type of medical care as any other child at that same gestational age. And I'm not confusing my words. I'm referring to it as a child because that's what it is. And we have a government that would say, oh no, we can't extend medical care to a survivor of an attempted murder. What do you say about a government when God says he made them both male and female? You have a government that says, no, 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 no. Surely there must be 1,075,156 genders. It cannot be. What male and female, what would you say of that government? Would you say that the government has stepped outside of the boundaries that God has ordained for it? Yes. Yes. And I'm just offering this as a reminder because so often, and this is the sad part, man, and I use this Thomas Sowell quote all the time. It's not that Johnny can't think. It's that Johnny has confused thinking with feeling. We have people who are so overwhelmed by emotion. I mean, look at the conversations that are surrounding this coronavirus deal. And again, wash your hands. I'm not saying it be ridiculous, but you mean to tell me that globally, when you have 100,000 cases, 107,000, when just this year, between the 2019 and 2020 flu season, we had 37 million cases of the flu with 18,000 people dying from it just in our country. When you don't even have remotely that quantity globally, yet we, people running out of Lysol wipes in the stores. I saw a video in England. They have three women fighting in the store, boxing, getting out there Mike Tyson and Leon Spinks Dukes over toilet paper. Now, here's why I'm confused. Somebody help me. Can you tell me how the symptoms that include coughing and sneezing results in a shortage of toilet paper? What I'm saying, folks, is people have gone berserko. And people that have gone berserko are not just those who are in the store buying out all the toilet paper. I'm saying people in our government don't understand the biblical ordained function for government. And so they routinely step out of bounds. And I might just have a guest on to talk about it a little bit in the next segment. So remember, government's purposes as ordained by God are twofold primarily. Reward, encourage, support, bolster righteousness. Government should encourage righteousness in society, and to punish and restrain wickedness.
The Boy Scouts are paying the price for caving to activists. I am Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. The Boy Scouts of America recently filed for bankruptcy after decades of sexual abuse claims. And when the organization opened the door to homosexual scouts in 2013, that added to its indiscretions. Then 2 years later, homosexual scout masters were invited into the program. In fact, the Boy Scouts dedicates a whole paragraph in its eligibility requirements to encouraging those who have homosexual inclinations to enroll. In just a little over a decade, the organization completely reversed its values regarding homosexual members. And in 2017, the organization publicized that it would give biological girls who self-identify as boys scouting memberships. This once wholesome organization known for honor is now known for sexual abuse. Thousands of innocent victims will never be the same. Stay informed at Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
I feel so hopeless. Hopeless.
Is there any hope? I just feel like there's no hope at all. No.
Is there any hope?
Get hope.
My mother-in-law was seriously ill.
That's TWR President Lauren Libby.
Doctors had determined her situation was so serious, they needed to perform brain surgery. There was a good chance she wouldn't survive. And scans showed a growth at the base of her brain. I can remember standing in that hospital, losing hope. As a family, we stood over Mother and told Jesus how much we loved her and asked him to bring hope to her family as she faced this surgery. The next morning during surgery, the doctors couldn't find any abnormality. So they stopped, and she lived another 10 years. Do you know what that did for the family? It brought hope back from a dark situation. Now Jesus can bring hope in the worst situations.
Need more hope? We have resources waiting for you, including a free devotional. You'll find them at GetHopeRadio.com. That's GetHopeRadio.com.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. A 2018 study of children between the ages of 9 and 14 examined the association of spiritual faith in adolescence with mental health and young adulthood. The study found that young boys grounded at an early age in a relationship with God had greater psychological well-being, better physical health, greater character strength, and lower risks of mental illness, substance abuse, and sexual promiscuity. I've written the Boy to Man book as a user-friendly tool for fathers of 12-year-old boys to ground them in God and put them on a glide path to mature manhood. If you know and love the father of a young boy, consider giving him this little book as a gift. He and his son will never regret it. Order your copy of the Boy to Man book today from afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. I'm excited to have on the program with me a woman who I have come to know a little bit, but more than know, to respect a lot of it. Growing up, it used to be said all the time, you know, you walk softly but carry a big stick. And I think that description describes our next guest. I am elated to have on the program with me Senator Angela Hill from who represents the Picayune, Mississippi area, who is a state senator in the state of Mississippi. Senator Hill, thank you so much for joining me on the program today.
Well, thank you for having me.
I have, and maybe I should play this to kind of set this up. You have been working on something in the state of Mississippi that is, in my opinion, phenomenal. And so everybody can know the American Family Association has come out in support of a particular piece of legislation I'm going to describe. But there is an issue that has been percolating nationally. And Senator Hill has taken the initiative to confront this in the state of Mississippi. Listen to the audio and clip number three, please.
The first race that I competed against a transgender athlete was during my freshman year. And once the gun went off, the two transgender athletes took off flying and left all of us girls in the dust. I knew right then and there that some girls would be missing out on great opportunities to succeed, and that women could be completely eradicated from their own sports.
The state of Connecticut's Athletic Association now allows biological males to compete in women's sports. And that has had the effect of displacing girls like Selena from podium spots and from advancing to the next level of competition. It really has created an unlevel playing field for women's sports in Connecticut.
I've lost opportunities to compete at world-class tracks. I've lost opportunities to compete in front of college coaches and gain attention. And I've lost opportunities to win titles. I know that I'm not the only girl who has missed out on opportunities. There are countless other girls who have lost meets and titles and their drive to compete as hard as they can because they know that they will never be good enough to compete against these athletes.
Now, you, Senator Hill, have drafted legislation titled the Fairness Act. That was a very simple piece of legislation. Would you just describe for the audience what you sought to accomplish with the Fairness Act and what it was proposed to accomplish?
Basically, the Fairness Act just said that we will not allow biological males to compete against females in female-designated teams in the high school, junior college, or university level. That's basically what it said. If you will compete if you're a girl against another girl, but a male who thinks he's a girl will not compete against a female in a female-only team.
Which seems to be pretty basic, pretty simple, pretty common-sense legislation. Why did you feel it necessary to bring this bill forward?
Well, Mississippi is one of six states with no policy, and it's just a matter of time before we're faced with it, and we need to have a policy in place before we have to cross this bridge and defend litigation and what have you. So we need to be prepared. We need to move forward rather than be reactive after the fact.
And it is true that other states around the country are doing this. I know there's legislation in Tennessee
yes,
and other
states much less conservative than Mississippi are passing these bills through the chambers.
Right, which is because, and even polling in Mississippi indicated that this is something that the majority of Republicans, Democrats, and Independents all support. Right?
Absolutely. It polled overall at 79% overall.
And in this,
that's pretty strong.
That is pretty strong in this age of polarization. I mean, you can get 79% of the people to agree about anything because at a common sense level.
I think that's one of the highest polling issues I've ever seen since I've been a legislator. It's just a no-brainer for most people.
It is. But your bill, and the Fairness Act, Senate Bill 2240, for some reason, and I'll ask you to describe this, it was double referred by Mississippi's Republican Lieutenant Governor, Delbert Hoseman. What does it mean to have a bill double referred?
It means it has to get through two committees to get to the floor instead of one.
Now, of course, you know I have my opinions, but because you are the esteemed senator, why would, and let me ask this, who has the authority in the Mississippi State Legislature to refer bills to committees?
The leadership in both chambers has the authority to refer bills to whatever committee they choose. Now, there have been some bills double referred to two committees that have come out of the two committees.
Okay.
So I can't, you know, speak to if there was a nefarious motive there.
Okay.
But nevertheless, the bill never saw the light of day and never got a vote in the Senate Education Committee. And we also had a House bill filed, a companion bill, and it was sent to Judiciary B in the House, only one committee, and it also died in that committee.
Okay. Now, I don't want to labor here, and if you have the time, I'd like to keep you for both segments because I think this is important enough for the people listening to understand.
I agree.
So when you said bills, even double-referred bills come out, what's the purpose for doubly referring a bill to in separate committees in the same chamber, House, the same chamber of the state legislature?
Well, sometimes the bill has a general portion and a finance portion. And the bill could be referred to the general committee and then the finance committee or the general committee, then the appropriations committee. Sometimes bills just deal with more than one subject area, and sometimes they're double referred for that, and sometimes they're double referred to kill them.
Okay. So That is the reality. Now, you said your bill was referred to the Education Committee, and it never came up for a vote.
Never came up for a vote.
Who gets to determine which bills get to come up for a vote?
the chairman.
Of the individual committee.
And the leadership. It just depends. I mean, some chairmen, you know, are more independent than others, and some won't take up bills that the leadership doesn't want them to take up. But, you know, I can't speak to that.
Sure.
All I can speak to is that it died in the committee.
Yeah.
In a Republican supermajority, it died in the committee and was never brought up for a vote.
And that is what I wanted to ask you about next.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't the Mississippi State Legislature dominated by Republican elected officials?
Yes.
And you described it as a supermajority. For those who may not be aware of what that means, what does that mean that the Mississippi State Legislature, and I think you said
it means you have more Republicans than a majority is, you know, than a majority. You have more than a majority.
So not just 51%. You have somewhere along the lines of 70%, 75. You have a lot of cushion.
Yeah. We have some cushion.
But
actually, when I did the amendment to the other bill, when I found the bill that I can stick it in,
yeah,
and I did the amendment on the floor and asked for a roll call vote,
yeah,
I got 34 to 12.
I saw that. I actually have the vote right in front of me, which
mm-hmm.
is amazing.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
So
if it hits the floor, it's going to pass. But we can't get these good bills out of committee sometimes.
And the thing that has me perplexed, and I've been, listen, I call them like I see them. I've said repeatedly that regressivism is a bipartisan institution, that party affiliation could be an indication of someone's stance on issues, but not necessarily so. And so I personally was shocked and appalled at the idea that your bill, your standalone bill, didn't get passed, didn't even get a vote in committee. But you didn't allow that to deter you. So you alluded to this earlier. After your bill didn't get a vote in committee, what did you do next?
Well, a bill came up on the floor that dealt with the Mississippi High School Athletic Association, and I saw a germane bill that I could at least amend to get some language in there to protect high school girls' teams. So that's what I did. I took it to the floor and I said, you know, no agency, no school would join an agency that allows biological males to compete against females, biological females in female sports. So I was able to get that for the high school level. But, you know, the original bill encompassed community colleges and universities, and all this bill was germane to was the high school level.
So you didn't get to apply it to as much as you intended to originally, but you at least were able to move forward with this bill to protect high school age girls, girls at the high school level. Is that right?
Yes.
Now I would, I'm trying to keep myself calm here, because I would think that in a red state, as red as can be, that you would have legislators falling over themselves to protect, you know, women and girls, especially when you have a measure that polls as high as your bill polls. I would have thought that would have been a no-brainer to pass, even when you presented the amendment on the floor, as you described it, that it passed 34 to 12.
Oh, it passed overwhelmingly, and I didn't, you know, it was straight party line votes. It was a straight party line votes amendment.
So what is going on in the Mississippi State Legislature that a bill like your standalone bill would face whatever? I mean, we can't speculate as to what the motivation was behind it.
Well, you know, I think that some people, you know, just they don't want to bring something out that they think might be the least bit controversial. But to me, you know, when you look at this kind of polling, that's not what I would consider controversial.
Right. I mean, when AFA launched the Target boycott, I can't tell you the number of times I heard from people that said, man, I don't support AFA. I don't, you know, believe in whatever conservative principles, but it's a no-brainer that men don't belong in women's restrooms.
And exactly, and we see the consequences over and over and over from allowing men in women's restrooms.
I mean, we just saw a school in Wisconsin that had to shut mm-hmm. its gender-neutral bathroom because an 18-year-old male assaulted a female student in the restroom. And so I can't fathom. And this is where maybe you can help me and help our audience. I can't fathom if these elected officials actually sat and thought about what the actual measures were, that they would think, hey, you know what? We don't need to protect the girls in our state. So it must be getting bogged down because of political reasons. And you know, at this time, I would think people would want to protect women and girls, but we're seeing an erasure of girls' sports that are being infected and dominated by, you know, biological males who are asserted themselves as females, and they're taking over women's sports. I've said before, and it's because of my experience in basketball, I said, man, you're going to start seeing marginal male basketball players and marginal male athletes. They're going to say, hey, I'm a woman. And then they're going to start dominating in girls' sports. And we're seeing it in cycling. We're seeing it in track. We're seeing it in weightlifting. It's only a matter of time before we see it across the board.
Exactly. I mean, I've never seen anything grow as fast as this, you know, gender confusion, transgender movement, you know, and boys trying to come over into girls' restrooms and coming over on girls' sports teams. And, you know, biology means something.
Yeah. Biology means a lot. So what can the listeners do? Well, let me ask this question first. Where is the bill that you amended to include language to protect high school level girls? It's Senate Bill 2351. Where is Senate Bill 2351 in the legislative process currently?
It is sitting on the motion to reconsider calendar in the state Senate. The Democrat chair of education held that bill on a motion to reconsider to basically try to kill my amendment. So that bill will have to be taken off the motion to reconsider calendar and sent to the House.
So who has the authority to do that, to take it off the motion
to reconsider? Well, the legislature can do it. The members can do it.
Okay.
It doesn't take a chairman.
Okay. So.
And we intend to do it.
Okay. All right. I was going to ask next, what can the listeners do to help move this process forward?
Well, they can email their senators and their House members, and they can email the leadership, and they can email the lieutenant governor and the speaker and say that they support this amendment.
Okay, and so many people may ask, okay, will it really make a difference if I contact my senator? Will it really make a difference if I send the email, make the phone call concerning this legislation? What would you say to that question?
I would say absolutely. They need to hear from the people that they represent.
How do the legislators respond after hearing, and this is, again, for the listeners, in case you haven't been listening for an entire conversation, this is contacting Mississippi state legislators. How do they respond at the state level when they have direct communication from their constituents?
Well, many of them respond and check their emails. Some don't. But I think if it's just a genuine email from a constituent, it should be well received.
Okay, and where can the Mississippi listeners go to get the information if they don't have it?
They can go to the Mississippi Legislative website.
Okay.
And they can navigate that website and get the email addresses of their lawmaker.
Okay, would you pull that up for me, Jeff? Okay, folks, I'm going to ask you to do that. I mean, because this is insane.
Now, all the Republicans that voted for this thing, you know, they're going to vote for it again in mm-hmm. the Senate, I think. Mm-hmm. But it's got to make it through the House. If we get it out of the Senate, it's got to make it also through the House.
Okay.
And we don't want that thing to be sent to a committee in the House to die.
Okay, so it's on a motion to reconsider calendar in which chamber?
In the Senate.
The Senate. Okay. So it's based on what you said, you're going to be able to
pass this bill to the House.
Pass it to the House.
Yes.
All right. And so then we need the state representatives to vote on the bill and not just stick it into a committee to die. Different state legislatures have different timelines. What is the timeline in which we have to make sure this bill gets passed in the House?
Well, the deadline to move it from the Senate is Monday, and it's about a two and a half week deadline to get it out of the House and off the floor.
Okay. So basically we have about 2 weeks to get this bill taken off the motion to reconsider calendar, passed in the House.
Mm-hmm.
From the floor. So, folks, I'm going to ask you to step to it. And as soon as we get the website information, I'm going to share that. Oh, we got it up right now. It's www.legislature.ms.gov. The website again is www.legislature.ms.gov. Go there, find your legislators' information, email them about Senate Bill 2351, and insist.
With the Fairness Act Amendment.
With the Fairness Act Amendment. You need to use that terminology, the Senate Bill 2351 with the Fairness Act Amendment. Pass it in the House. Get this legislation moved forward so that we can protect girls in the state of Mississippi. Senator Hill, thank you so much for joining
me
on the program.
Thank you for having me.
Walt Disney Children's programming is no longer safe for our children. Disney has announced their first openly gay character in an animated movie. Although her features are otherworldly, Spectre's purpose is very worldly. She's in the movie Onward to help indoctrinate our kids with the LGBTQ agenda. She's actually not their first gay character, but now Disney has traded its subtlety for intentionality. Sign our petition letting Disney know your family won't be watching Onward at afa.net.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word. And we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
8 Days of Hope continues to be the hands and feet of Jesus. The ministry is in need of volunteers as they turn their attention to Nashville. Visit 8daysofhope.com to learn how you can help. Here's 8 Days of Hope President Steve Tiber.
We're looking for people who just want to serve others. You know, you don't have to be super gifted. Every disaster gives an opportunity for a believer to share a glimpse of Jesus Christ. On a moment's notice, your life can change. And you don't know what to do, and all of a sudden you get a knock on your door, and there's a dozen volunteers that have come from all over the country, and homeowners usually, they just start to weep. They're so blown away that volunteers they don't even know would come to their house to help them. That's the hands and feet of Jesus Christ.
Volunteers must be 18 years or older. Food and lodging are provided. Be a part of helping tornado victims in Nashville. Learn more or sign up at 8daysofhope.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My name is Dr. Andrew Favich, and I teach microbiology here at Drew McCollum University. And so instead of trying to teach biology from this perspective that gives you this goo-to-you version of evolution, you get this perspective of this is who God is, this is who God has revealed himself to be, and he's revealed himself in nature, which is terribly exciting to study.
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. Melanie Hicks is looking for a new job. Ms. Hicks made national headlines when she wrote a Facebook message hoping Republicans would die. At the time, she was director of the Pioneer City County Museum in Texas. The museum's board of directors held an emergency meeting last week, but instead of firing Ms. Hicks, they allowed her to resign. But not everyone around town believes the museum manager should have lost her job. They say she has a constitutional right to write what she wrote on Facebook, and that's a fair point. Others point out the hypocrisy of it all. Imagine if a Trump supporter had wished death upon Obama supporters. They would have been brought up on hate crime charges, and that's a fair point, too. If nothing else, social media has been quite helpful in outing Trump derangement syndrome across the fruited plain, the incivility in our civil discourse. Honestly, we ought to be more worried about Trump derangement syndrome than the coronavirus. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. We won't be able to get to calls today. Some more foolishness du jour to diagnose. You know, I had to chuckle to myself, and I should ask you to pull this audio, Jeff. Because remember when James Comey came out saying, I agree with Amy Klobuchar. I'm going to support Joe Biden because he's going to restore decency to the office of the presidency. And then you got Joe Biden at an auto workers factory in Michigan. The man is cussing auto the dude out. The guy asked Joe Biden, literally asked him, say, man, why are you coming for our guns? Why are you coming for our guns? He said the man, he's full of excrement. I shan't speak such words on these airwaves. And I thought, huh. So you're gonna come out now, call me and say that? I mean, he said this to a voter. A regular citizen, he cursed the man out. And man, and I, you also remember how quickly in all of the efforts to try to stop President Trump's momentum, people came out saying, oh, we may have to enact the 25th Amendment. President Trump doesn't seem mentally fit to do the job. That's when he came out saying he was a stable genius. He's unstable. And you have literally Joe Biden. He cannot remember. It's Super Thursday. We hold these truths to be self-evident that men and women are created. You know the thing. You know the thing. I'm telling you, when we were in Arizona, my son was cracking up laughing at that. It became a joke as we were traveling. He would say, hey, Daddy, I'd like to go. You know the thing, Daddy. It's pretty funny. Oh, my goodness. Then, and I know this is a little bit older, but you know I'm catching up from being out of town. I could not believe this. And, folks, this is, you remember how frequently, and you guys are going to remember this, when I tell you, please don't esteem people as having more value than you, as being experts in various things, because they have a certain amount of letters behind their names or because they have a TV show. I also always encourage you, listen, you hear what I'm saying, but verify it for yourself. I'm a human being just like you. NBC gave us a good demonstration as to why that is the case. Now, this is before Michael Bloomberg dropped out of the race for the presidency. And you had Brian Williams from the New York, from NBC, hosting on MSNBC, seated across from, get this, the New York Times' editorial board member, Myra Gay. Now I want you to stop and consider something. When your job is to participate on an editorial board, your job is to check stuff before you publish it. Right? Your job is to edit stuff. That's why you have editorial board member in your title. You're supposed to catch stuff and say, whoa, 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 whoa. This doesn't seem quite right. Let us double, triple, quadruple check the facts before we present this for public consumption. Well, Brian Williams, I mean, we know he lies. So that's not a shock. But Brian Williams and Myra Gay saw themselves as pouncing on the regressive talking point, we need to get money out of politics. We just had the Democrat Party change the rules so that it can have money in politics. And in the conversation, they had this to say. Please play clip number one.
You see it as a possibility if he wants to spend $1 billion beating this guy, he could do it.
Absolutely. Somebody tweeted recently that actually with the money he spent, he could have given every American $1 million.
I got it. Let's put it up on the screen.
I got it.
When I read it tonight on social media, it kind of all became clear. Bloomberg spent $500 million on ads. U.S. population, 327 million. Don't tell us if you're ahead of us on the math. He could have given each American $1 million and have had lunch money left over. It's an incredible way of putting it.
Now, come on, man. And he said, don't tell us if you're ahead of us on the math. Dude, you're on a national television show sitting across from the New York Times editorial board member. She called for the tweet. In the tweet, she argued, and they argued that Bloomberg spent $500 million on his presidential campaign. All right. Some of you may have already seen this. There are 327 million people in the United States of America. And they were talking about this like they have come to some austere revelation. Really, for the money he spent, he could have given every American $1 million. Now, hold up, Chief. It's 327 million people in America based on your calculations. I would quibble with you on the population numbers, but hey, let's go with your number. 327 million people. If you divide $500 million between 327 million people, you want to know how much each person would get? $1.53. $1.53. And there, whoa, you're so smart. folks. This is why I tell you, do not regard these people as awesome, these intellectual juggernauts. I mean, Brian Williams. And then Jeff put this little ditty together. And I thought, man, this is funny. So I'm going to play it for you. Listen closely to Brian Williams' words, Brian Williams' words, and Myra Gay's words, as well as the addition that Jeff made to their commentary. Clip number two, please.
But you see it as a possibility if he wants to spend $1 billion beating this guy, he could do it.
Absolutely. Somebody tweeted recently that actually with the money he spent, he could have given every American
$1 million.
Got it. Let's put it up on the screen. When I read it tonight on social media, it kind of all became clear. Bloomberg spent $500 million on ads. U.S. population, 327 million. Don't tell us if you're ahead of us on the math. He could have given each American
$1 million.
And I've had lunch money left over. It's an incredible way of putting it.
It had lunch money left over. So everybody in the MSNBC newsroom, y'all gonna let your mans go out with that? That's what y'all gonna do? Oh my gosh. This is insane, man. These people want to tell you they're smarter than you. These are the people that want to call people like you smelly Walmart shoppers. These are the people that say you are science deniers. When they're talking about they got 5,766 different genders and they saying $500 million can be divided between 327 million Americans and each person can have $1 million. Man, please. This is, listen. I don't know how many people saw the movie Lean On Me. It's an old movie. And in the movie, Crazy Joe Clark had Sam's on the roof trying to encourage Sam's to cease his habit for consuming illegal substances, all right? And Joe Clark said, it kills your brain cells, son. It kills your brain cells. Well, I would posit something for your consideration. Regressivism, it kills your brain cells, man. It kills your brain cells. I describe this on Twitter as socialistic math. This, Lord, they thought they were making some big time points. Oh, you could have given each American $1 million and had lunch money to spare. Oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. The level of ridiculous here is insane. This is insane. And Karen on Facebook asked the very question I had in my mind. Have you seen anybody come out yet from MSNBC and say, I'm sorry, we were wrong? We apologize. We don't want our credibility to be perpetually jeopardized by our mathematical aversion. They're allergic to calculators at MSNBC. Oh my gosh, this is ridiculous, man. This is ridiculous. Carmen on Facebook said, that's why they can't manage a budget. They can't add. This is sad, man. This is sad. In this day and age where you have the interweb, man, you got robots delivering packages. And you have you can use your artificial intelligence assistants. I don't trust that stuff, by the way. That's a whole other story, conversation. Alexa, how many times can $500 million be divided between 327 million people? Oh, Brian, please don't go on TV with that nonsense. Because the answer is only $1 and actually 52.9 cents. You'd have to round up to get to 53, Brian. Oh, thank you, Alexa. I dodged a bullet on that one. And to the break we go. This is crazy, man. These folks are insane. And speaking of insane, oh, my gosh. You saw this story. I sent this to you a while back. Oh, my gosh. Boy, I'm telling you. Will you reject the Lord's way? Man, you know Romans 1 explains to us exactly what happens, the process. I teach my children this, too. The Bible literally says that when you reject the Lord, when you fail to retain God in knowledge, it's you fail to retain God in knowledge, the consequences. And yes, Romans 1 talks about all of the sexual deviancy and all of that. But one of the key things that are revealed there is that the Bible says you become futile in your reasoning. Do you understand that? When mankind has positioned itself in stark opposition against the Lord, one of the key telltales that this has occurred is that their ability to reason and compute is gone. It's gone. I mean, when you have, I was attempting to have a conversation with somebody about socialism and attempting to explain to them that Bernie Sanders is lying to the whole country because there's not enough money in the country to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. And then this person said, yeah, but what about all this other wasteful spending? And I said, listen, you raising the point that our government spends money wastefully is not an affirmative reason to say, let's endorse Bernie Sanders' lunacy. You understand what I'm saying? Like, and it was like, oh, yo, we have money for this. They start naming all kinds of things. And I simply say, okay, Ann, how much was that? This wasteful spending. And of course, y'all know me. I'm one of the few people who gets on the Republican Party for out of control spending. That's one thing Democrats and Republicans agree on, spending. They may not agree on what, but they want to keep spending. It's out of control. But I say, if you add up all of those things, you don't get to 1/10 of 1/100th of a percent of what Bernie Sanders is talking about. And I'm saying, man, we have a society of people, I'm going to be kind, whose gray matter has been blunted. And it's sad to see. Here's an example. So you have a woman in the Pacific Northwest. Her name is Emily Halnan. She is a self-described and self-professed feminist. All right? She wanted to have a romantic relationship with a man, but the man who she chose to invite into her life, he had this one thing about him. He liked to wear dresses. Emily, who is a self-professed feminist, initially encouraged him. Oh, yes, let's go dress shopping together. Let's go here. She described that his broad back prohibited him from being able to go to traditional dress shops. So they would go to thrift stores and other places where he would put on dresses. And then something hit her. She said there she was looking at her huge man boyfriend wearing a dress. And she realized she didn't want a dude dressed in a dress. She wanted a man. In the immediate moment that she realized that she wanted a man, she felt guilty. Because she felt like she was a hypocrite in her commitment to her progressive causes and to feminism. So she was torn in saying that she was only a progressive philosophically, but deep down, something inside of her craved a manly man. Emily. Sweet. It's called science. God made men to want women, to made women to want men. But she was confessing her guilt and being unable to live up to her feminist ideals. Because even though she realized the tension, she realized, well, I want a man. I don't want this dude wearing a dress, going in my closet talking about, oh, I wonder if I can fit that. No, you can't fit that. And this has been your brain on regressivism. You guys, y'all have a great day.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.